man named Eutychus, being fallen into deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And the scripture tells us that Paul went down there and raised him from the dead. Now I ask you, if you were a member of that church, would you have been there that Sunday night? And whenever you heard them telling about that service, when you felt, boy, I really missed something. Well, we had 9 visitors there. While there was Sopater from Adria and Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, and there was Gaius from Derbe, and there was Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus from Asia, and there was Dr. Luke, and Paul was there, and they invited him to preach. But I didn't get to hear it because I didn't come Sunday night. And you know what happened? Why, it was so crowded, one of us wasn't able to sit in the chairs in there. He was sitting in the window, probably because it's hot. And the windows are open. And he's worked all day because at that time, Sunday was not a day that was a holiday that you didn't go to work. And so he's worked all day and he comes and sits down and he falls asleep. And he falls out this window and kills himself on the pavement. And Paul raised him from the dead. But you missed it. I can imagine what Thomas felt that first Sunday night. That Lord had been raised that Sunday morning. And the disciples are gathered together in the upper room. And Jesus appears in their midst. And he says, look at me. See the holes in my hand. And see the place where they pierced me in the side. And be not faithless, but believing. But he missed it. Because he wasn't there. And when they told him, Jesus is risen from the dead, he said, I won't believe it unless I can put my finger in his hand and put my hand in his side and know that he's raised from the dead. Well, next Sunday, they're all together in the room again, and Jesus appears there, and Thomas is present. And he says to him, Thomas, come and put your finger in my hand, and put your hand in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And I imagine one of the things that went through, he heard what I said. You know, he heard what you said this morning, too. You're getting ready for worship. Whatever it was passed through your mind, you have to go to church. Do you really expect me to come back at 5 o'clock? No, I don't really expect you to come back because I gave up what I was doing in Indiana and I came over here and it didn't make me much difference whether anybody came or not. I've been preaching 50-something years. I have never baptized an empty pew. I've never seen one of them come forward to be restored. It's always the people that we're interested in hearing the gospel. And you know what? If you go to an assembly for entertainment and you have to pay these $75 rates for a ticket, you know where you want to sit? You want to sit on the second or third seat. You come to church, the back seats fill first. Somebody came up with this idea I liked about designing a church that I'd put one row of seats at the front and one row of seats in the back. Whenever people came in, filled up that row, it'd come on a roller and just come up here to the front. Then another seat would pop up. And when it filled up, it'd come up there. Pretty good idea, isn't it? Why is it that we want to be on the front seats for the entertainment and on the back seats for worship? We don't want to be too committed, too involved. I was glad when they said, come, let us go up to the house of God. That should be the attitude we have. And I ought to be here this morning with the attitude, I want to offer to God the very best worship I can offer. Our brother has led us in singing these wonderful hymns. And I ought to sing them from the depth of my heart, giving praise to God, because you think about what all he's done for us. Now, I can understand perhaps why somebody whose family was starving to death, they didn't have anything, they might not say, I feel like praising God so much. But man, we live in America. Even our poor people are rich by world standards. You know, somebody said, when everybody around you has one shirt and you got two shirts, you're rich. You've seen that Goodwill commercial where that they say, it might be time to donate to Goodwill. Does that look like your closets? It does ours. If anybody has a reason to be offering praise to God, it ought to be the American people. And so when I come to sing, I ought to sing to the best of my ability with all the enthusiasm that I can generate. And then when I am singing, I think about it edifying my brothers and sisters that are around me. And I think about when we partake the Lord's Supper, of remembering his death and his burial and resurrection. Sometimes I focus on the sad scene of Calvary. Sometimes I focus on the glorious scene of the resurrection. Because we're proclaiming his death and his resurrection till he